What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, YouTube page, 94WIP. Give us a subscribe there. And check it out. We got a lot of video content up from the shows on WIP to all the podcasts, including WIP Daily. All right, we're 2 weeks away. 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be at the link, Eagles draft, the NFL draft out in Detroit. We'll be at the link doing the WIP draft show, and the Eagles have the 22nd pick. It's going to be a big night. Maybe move up, maybe move down. Hey, who knows? Maybe trade the pick for a veteran, as we discussed yesterday on the pod. But what's really hitting me today is just thinking, you know, 2 weeks out, what are the Eagles' true needs in this draft, and how would you rank the needs? So I think we can all kind of surmise the five or six positions we think the Eagles probably will attack at some point in this draft. They might surprise us and add a couple players at a certain position. They might surprise us and add a player to a position we're not even expecting. Like, just for example, you know, a running back. I mean, the Eagles just signed Saquon Barkley. You know, you would think running back's not even, even on the top of mind. But if they like a guy in the fourth round, and Kenny Gainwell's got 1 year left for free agency, you know, running backs get banged up. That wouldn't shock me if they added a player there. But that's not a need, right? You don't go into this draft saying the Eagles need a running back. Now, if they hadn't signed Saquon, sure, then that probably would have been a significant need. I don't think it is at really a big need at all. So as you look forward to the draft, and I think it's notable to kind of look at the odds, latest odds over at FanDuel Sportsbook. Always get my odds over at FanDuel. Latest odds on the position to be the Eagles' first pick. And that's just one. Doesn't mean that's you know, they might take a player because that's where the board says or the value says. Doesn't mean they're going to take their biggest seed in round one. But right now, the odds say a plus 150. The favorite to be the Eagles' first player selected is an offensive lineman. Then at one plus 180 each is both edge rusher, defensive line edge, or corner, both at plus 180. All right, let's get into this. Here's how I would rank the top five needs the Eagles have heading into the 2024 draft. Number one, first and foremost, and I'm not saying I would definitely spend my first round pick on this position, but it's clearly the biggest need on the roster. And I've started to work on my big board, and it will reflect some of this. And big board, by the way, we'll have on the pod coming up soon. And I've fallen in love with a player. It's a player we've talked about already on the pod, but I have found my guy. Every year I have a guy in the draft, and I have found my guy in the 2024 NFL draft. You know, last year I was, you know, Skronsky was one of my favorite players. I was on Nolan Smith, Brian Branch, one of my favorite guys last year. Year before, I was on Jordan Davis. I really liked him, but I also, you know, I liked some other guys. And a couple years before that, Antoine Winfield, one of my favorites, Ayuk. So I like to do this where I put my favorite top 10 players out there, and hopefully the Eagles land some of these guys. But to go back to the needs, my board will reflect some of the needs I think the Eagles have and who I'd want them to take. But number one for me, the number one need on the roster, and this is not just about this draft, this is just looking at the Eagles roster today. The number one need is offensive line. This is as thin of an offensive line unit as I've seen the Eagles have in a long, long time. And I look at the last 2 years at what they've lost from their depth that they had, let's say, the Super Bowl year. And I'm looking at a line that has lost Jack Driscoll, Sue Opetta, Jason Kelsey, obviously, Andre Dillard, all in the last 2 years. They haven't spent big resources to bring in more offensive linemen. Right now, Tyler Steen is slated to be a starter at right guard. That's a question mark. Cam Jurgens, a starter at center. That's a question mark. So you have two new starters at those spots. Those are question marks. I know, you know, obviously Juergens was a starter on a playoff team last year, but he started a different position. So you have a new center, a new right guard. You have an older right tackle. I think the left side has very little worry, obviously, after the contract extensions to Mailata and Landon Dickerson. But the bottom line is, and this is the reality of it, the bottom line is that the Eagles have significant questions on the offensive line, and their depth is just not there. I like the Hennessy kid they brought, you know, the Temple kid they brought up from the Falcons to be an interior backup. That seems like a good idea. But their tackle depth is very thin. I mean, Fred Johnson, are we kidding? So that's why you're seeing all these mocks with the Eagles taking, let's say, a future tackle, maybe Lane Johnson's future replacement. I'll just throw out a name, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, with the idea of maybe playing him at guard for a year. I mean, that is certainly on the table. And, you know, we've even discussed the idea of, could the Eagles take an offensive tackle that doesn't have a lot of guard versatility? Or let's say they take an offensive tackle that doesn't win the starting job day one, and Tyler Steen, you know, a year under his belt in the system and with Jeff Stoutland, wins the job, that they take a first-round pick and use it on a backup tackle for a year, like a backup swing offensive lineman. Yeah, it wouldn't shock me because they need depth there. I think of what happened in 2017 with Big V as a backup that eventually came in and played, and they won a Super Bowl. Like, you know, we can cross our fingers and say, yeah, come on, I'm going to get a backup tackle in round one. But, you know, there's a chance. I don't know what the percentage chance is, but there's a chance that Mailata or Lane goes down for a long period of time. Two positions, and if you have one unique player that could fill both if needed, you know, one or the other, it's a big deal. So I see questions on the starting line at guard and center. I see questions with the depth. I see questions with the future. Offensive line is clearly the number one need for me, and I think for the Eagles entering the 2024 draft. Number two, corner. Now, this might be the position for you that is number one. I just, you know, what I see with corner is they lack a really good future plan at the position. They lack something you could kind of latch onto and say, this is the future at that position. But they don't lack options for 2024. That's why I think it's less of a need than offensive line. They're close, but I would say because they have more options to just throw on the field next season, and you could probably get by, that it's not as big of a need as the offensive line. But corner is obviously a big need. Right now, if they had to go play a game, James Bradbury, I can't believe he's still here. Darius Slay, and I guess Avante Maddox would be your starters, like running back the same three corners that got torched down the end of the season. That doesn't seem wise to me. Now, those guys could all, or at least two out of three, lose their jobs pretty quickly. Or Keely Ringo, Hugh on the Midday Show has been talking about since the day he got here. Fourth round pick last year, showed some signs. Maybe he's ready to take a job and take Bradbury's job. Isaiah Rogers, guy they had basically been stashing for a year after the gambling suspension, was a promising young player in Indianapolis a couple years ago. Maybe he's ready, although I don't know what a year off does to the player, how long that takes. You also have Eli Ricks. You have Zach McPherson. You have CJ GJ, who could, you know, pop in there if you know. You have Josh Jobe. A lot of, they've really invested a lot the last couple of years on the, under the surface to try to have some options here if and when Slay and Bradbury go bad and Maddox. And I think we're seeing all three deteriorate. Now, Slay's still the best one of these three. I still expect Slay to start. But I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of camp or by the end of September, Bradbury and Maddox are either off the team or not starting anymore. So that's why you have all that depth there. Now, that all being said, between Eli Ricks, Keely Ringo, Josh Jobe, McPherson, Isaiah Roger, I don't know if you have anything close to a future number one corner, which they're going to need as Bradbury and Slay move out of here, especially as Slay moves out of here in a couple of years or ages in a year. I mean, Slay was good enough last year, but like his fall could come too at any point. He's in his 30s now. So they don't have that next wave. Like you might be able to get by and piecemeal this thing together with these other guys, but you don't have that future number one. I don't think they have that on the roster. That could be attained in the first round, depending on where the board falls. If the Eagles would be willing to trade up, a Quinyon Mitchell, Terry and Arnold, a Cooper DeJean, like there's options there at the cornerback position if the Eagles want to attack it. That's number two for me on the needs. Number one, offensive line. Number two, corner. Number three is linebacker. I know they've signed a bunch of names this offseason, you know, depth guys, and they obviously got Devin White as a bigger name player, a former top five pick. Does anyone feel good about the linebacking core right now? I don't. I mean, Devin White has gotten worse every year of his career. they took him off the field late in the season last year in the playoff game because he just wasn't good. I just think he's a player that peaked very early in his career, has not been able to sustain. There's a reason he got a one-year deal, even though he's got some production behind his name and some pedigree behind his name. Wasn't thought of to be in the same class as a Patrick Queen or, you know, even a Frankie Louvu when NFL free agency began. Total, you know, more famous than he is really good. And then that's one, right? Like, that's question marks. And I think Devin White's going to play and play a lot. But he's his own question mark. But what about next to Devin White, the other linebacker? Are we going to do this linebacker roulette where they're signing guys off the street again in August and think it's okay? It wasn't okay last year. They got torched. I mean, Shanahan was basically laughing on the sideline as he ran crossing routes all day past these guys. They had no shot. And I think it is foolish. And I think it is really, really taking a leap to expect or trust Nakobe to stay healthy. He's not done it. Nakobe Dean and healthy have not gone in the same sentence. It's a real concern. You can't lead me into the season telling me Nakobe Dean's going to be fine because I don't buy it. So, they have pick 50, pick 53. That feels like the spot for a linebacker. Is it Adrian Cooper, who has been was a tremendous college football player? Is it Peyton Wilson, who has some injury concerns coming out of North Carolina State, but everyone says he's a star if he can stay healthy? Maybe one of those guys is there. I know, trade up for Trot, has been something we've talked about, and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. and all that. Well, I don't know where he's going to fall. Might be more of a third-round pick. If the Eagles trade down with one of the two second-round picks, maybe that's the spot for Trot Jr. But, man, linebackers got a lot of holes, and they got to fill in this draft. So O-line 1, corner 2, linebacker 3. Number 4, it's a sneaky need. It's a sneaky depth concern. But I would say it's wide receiver. They don't have much at that position right now. Some of the young guys they've attempted to develop in recent years, it either hasn't worked out or they moved on or both. Obviously, Quez Watkins is no longer here. They've signed some patchwork guys, but I don't believe in these guys. Devontae Parker hasn't gotten open in years. That feels like a guy that gets cut in training camp. Now, Paris Campbell's interesting. Injuries have set him back. He's a guy, the Eagles had some interest in the 2019 draft when they drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. And he's got a history with Sirianni. He's had some big games with Sirianni. I could see why you could talk yourself into it, kind of the way Zach Pascal was a few years ago. Former Sirianni guy that they put into a role and it worked. And I understand on this particular team, when you have a running back that's expected to catch the ball out of the backfield, with Saquon, even when Gainwell's in the game, he's a pass catcher. You have a tight end who's a volume guy. You have two receivers that are huge volume guys. You have a quarterback that runs. I mean, how many targets does the slot get? Does the number 3 receiver get in this particular iteration of the Eagles? Not much. I mean, Quez got 20-something targets last year. Now, as part of that, Quez, yeah. As part of it, the offense, yeah. So, that's why when I see they're going to take a receiver in the first round, it just doesn't make any sense to me because it just doesn't feel like a position they're going to get a lot out of. That all being said, they could certainly use an upgrade at the number 3. And, the Eagles have been remarkably healthy the last couple seasons at wide receiver. But they've also kind of scrambled to find some depth when they needed it. Like, they got Julio Jones off the street last year. And you saw what happened when AJ went down in the playoff game or the Giants game before the playoff game and then couldn't play in the playoff game. If one of Devontae or AJ are not there, the whole offense just looks really rough because they don't have a receiver in the pipeline that could fill in. Like, just let's use the roster right now. If AJ Brown went down for a couple games, do we feel good about Devontae Parker or Paris Campbell? I don't. Every year, there's like 12 receivers that come in the NFL draft that are studs. Puka Nacua last year, late in the draft. There could be a guy like a Jalen Polk this year in the second or third round. So, I don't look at receiver as a thing the Eagles should even consider in the first round. But as we go through the second and the third and the fourth, yeah, they should be looking at receiver. It is certainly a need. And the final need I see for the 2024 Eagles in this draft is tight end. And that's why, I am very intrigued by Brock Bowers. Very intrigued. I think he's going to be a star. Obviously the Eagles need to prioritize defense more than offense. And when I mean prioritize, double down, two of the first 3 picks I believe should be on the defensive side. Or at least the first round pick on defense. And if you want to attack line and receiver or whatever in round two, I could live with that. But Brock Bowers, if he's there at 22, it's an enormous pick. I mean, because that guy could be a special player. But just beyond just Bowers, There's other tight ends late in the draft. Cade Stover is interesting to me. Jatavion Sanders is interesting to me out of Texas. And we're at that age with Dallas Goedert where, you know, when Ertz was this age, they drafted Goddard. When Celek was this age, they drafted Ertz. We're at that age where they take the next tight end, they play the two of them together for a couple of years, and they move off to Dallas Goedert. Like, that's the stage we're at. And I believe there's a real chance the Eagles do that in this draft. I do believe that. So it's a need for the future, but it's also a need for 2024 for two reasons. One, Goddard's had injury issues. Every year seems to be banged up a little bit around November. And the other thing is, you know, you look at Kellen Moore and some of his profile as a coach, especially last year in Los Angeles, top 10 in two tight end sets. The Eagles don't even, you know, they couldn't even line up in two tight end sets if you wanted to do that and have anyone in the league respect them based on what they have. Now you get a real tight end in here in the draft, another one, and teams would have to respect it and would give the different look on the offense, especially if they're going to be a little lighter or less imposing at the slot wide receiver position. You could do less of those formations and more of the two tight ends. My five top needs for the Eagles, the biggest needs the Eagles have as I look at the roster heading into the 2024 draft: number one, O-line; number two, corner; number three, linebacker; number four, wide receiver; number five, tight end. We're 2 weeks away from the 2024 NFL draft. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following WIP Daily. We'll talk soon.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.